Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Venerable Tom Dorian here.
Yes, sir.
And we've got Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
Not quite venerable, but we have hope. And we are going to do a very different show today. We have never done this in our many years of the Catholic Cafe.
15 plus years,
almost 800 episodes. This is the first time we've ever done this. We're doing a movie review.
Ooh.
I know. And so just like those...
We haven't even prepped for this either, have we?
No, we really have. Well, we have.
This will be fun.
We went to the movie.
Well, we haven't really talked about it.
Yeah, I want to be clear about this. We all just sort of like went to the Cabrini movie. We didn't get special passes. Mm-hmm. We didn't get special preview passes. We didn't get to go ahead, sit with like the muckety muck of the review world.
Well, I hate to tell you this,
the intelligentsia.
But I did.
Oh, you did.
Bad news, man. I did. Yeah, I got special treatment.
Well, he's venerable, though.
Really?
Yeah, so. They saw the hair and they're like, "Oh, dude, you're getting popcorn."
Okay, I don't doubt that, Tom. Thanks for sharing that. So Tom is he's just coming clean.
Just burst your bubble, brother.
Yeah. I mean, the most I got was, I got free refills on my popcorn. So, yeah. I mean, I got that. And I don't know if that was special treatment or not.
See, I was asked to leave. So.
Yeah, well, I get that too. That's not your first run-in with the establishment. But so we're not professional reviewers. We're right. Not. So we're just kind of like ordinary, everyday moviegoers. And we just, all three of us saw this movie and then started
Sam and
talking.
Sam and I, you're not, man. You're an expert when it comes to film.
No, I am not an expert. I love movies.
Oh, you, okay.
I've always loved
movies.
I'm
actually kind of a film buff myself, Tom.
Okay.
Actually, yeah.
But
you're a filmographer.
Yeah, I mean, just because I had a Super 8 camera doesn't make me, like, all of a sudden Steven Spielberg.
You might not realize this, I actually have a background in screenwriting, and film's been a part of my life for a long time, so yeah.
Oh, okay. See? So you're the only dolt at the table, is all I'm saying. No. I had film classes in college.
Okay.
I mean, I will say that I love movies, and I pay attention, and I've got... you know, favorite directors, and I've got favorite films, and some of them I don't necessarily like what they call art films. I don't really get into the weird.
I actually love those.
I know you do. Fellini's 8 and a half and all that stuff. I know you do.
Lestrada is actually my favorite Fellini, but yes.
Yeah. Okay. Move down the table. Further from me. No, I get it. No, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just, that's not who I am.
Right.
So, actually, then that's kind of cool. We guys got three different, you know, because, like, one of my favorite film is It's a Wonderful Life.
Yep. That's actually pretty close for me.
Okay.
is favorite. I mean, how can you get better than It's a Wonderful Life? It is, like, a perfect film.
Is that artsy enough, though, Sam?
You know what?
It has its moments.
It has its moments.
Well, you know what, Frank Capra, you know, I read his autobiography, The Man Above the Name Above the Title, and I just love Frank Capra.
Well, and something about It's a Wonderful Life is, in terms of favorite film, yes. Like, in terms of, is this the greatest film of all time, greatest execution of cinematic mastery? No, I'm not going to necessarily say that, but in terms of, like, favorite film,
there's
a film that
several
is,
bad jump cuts in that movie, by the way, just so we're all clear.
But a film that has, like, just been with my heart all my life and has instructed my heart and has fed my heart, every single time I've watched it in a way that's unique to that film, I can't help but give it a highly elevated status.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it deserves it. And then another favorite film of mine is E.T. And I don't know about, you know, what you think about the politics of Steven Spielberg, but he is an excellent director, and I love his... He's there's not many auteurs that are really left in the film business, and because an auteur is a guy that's like, he's the author of the film. Like, everything about that film is it's him, his fingerprints on everything. Frank Capra was one, Howard Hawks was another, and so I know some of those John Ford, exactly.
That's my guy.
Yeah, so you like Westerns. John Wayne.
You know what? He did some great non-Westerns.
Well, you know what? You're exactly right.
My Green Was My Valley.
Grapes of Wrath, right? Didn't he do that? So, look, okay, we've just impressed everybody with our film knowledge.
Yes, we have.
But we went, all three of us, at different times, went to Cabrini, the movie. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to talk about is Cabrini. Angel Studios put this movie out just this year, so it's 2024 flick. And it's directed by Alejandro Monteverde, who he also did The Sound of Freedom, and he's done a couple of other movies. And I, you know, I was amazed about something, not about the film. You know, I enjoyed my film experience. I was amazed at just how divisive this film has become.
Yeah. Mm.
I was quite shocked by that, because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to jump to the end of my review and go like, well, I left the film kind of pleasantly. I was impressed.
I bet you it's divisive, though, in the Catholic world.
I don't know.
How about outside the world, Catholic world?
Yeah, I don't hear many. Yeah, the secular world, I don't hear as many complaints about it. I mean, frankly, it's been very well received by secular critics. It's last I checked, it's above 90% on from critics and 98% from audiences. And some secular critics gave a negative review, like saints are boring, and the people from Angel Studios took that and they used that for their ads, which is kind of a funny move that they made. But overall, I would say, outside, you bring up a good point. The divisiveness is not from the secular world. Now, I think part of it is because it was created, and we'll talk about this, I think, for a secular audience. It wasn't created for a Catholic audience, which mm-hmm. is why you've got these Catholic moviegoers so angry about the result, I think, in part. But you're right, Deacon Jeff. I mean, it is intense. It's more. It almost feels like it's as intense as like the election politics and
yeah,
stuff like
I know,
that.
I know. It's like maybe that's part of like because this is going to be an election year and it's going to be a really weird election year.
Yeah.
It's already starting to spill over into things, you know. But I started thinking like. When people were saying what they were saying, I was like, well, whoa, back up just a little bit.
Yeah.
Really? I was overwhelmed with like some of the negative stuff. Now, and then at the same time, then people feel like they have to counter that. So it becomes like overtly positive stuff.
Yes.
So then it becomes like left and right. And you, either you're on my team or it's like, are you on like team good or team bad? And it's like, you know, and it's not just that they thought the film was bad. It's like it's not. No one says it's evil.
I've actually seen people say that it's evil or blasphemous or sacrilegious.
I haven't seen it.
Well, you know, he lives online. You know, yeah, Ziggy sure. is like an online creature. You know, yeah. And he stays up all night with like bleary eyes, bloodshot eyes. You know, and he's got his like his Diet Coke sitting there and all night long, and he'll sit there. Mm-hmm. You know, and
actually, I travel into it like Neo from the Matrix.
I know you do. I don't doubt that. You plug in and. Yeah.
And get into online fights.
I know. So, and there's like he sits there and it's like there's cigarette smoke wafting through his room, and he doesn't even smoke. That's how intense it is. And so there's like a lot of folks are doing that, and I don't do that, but I've heard some things. And I'm like going, wow, I that was not my take at all. So I thought we would spend a little bit of time talking about it. The first thing I want to say about this film, the reason I went. Was because I want to encourage like good movies, mm-hmm. like movies that people can go and see, and they're not going to be plagued, weighed down by, you know, whether it's sex or violence or, you know, well, say gratuitous sex and gratuitous violence. It's not weighed down by all of those things. It's something you can take your family to,
yeah.
right, and not or have a conversation with your 18-year-old daughter, you know, and not be embarrassed. And you know, it was like I it was one of those movies. I thought like, well, that's pretty good. But I gotta say this: the main reason I went to that movie, the first thing that I saw was the cinematography. So like in the trailer, I was looking at the trailer, and I'm like going, okay, whoever made this movie, you know, and that's before I even knew it was Angel Studios. Before I knew it was Alejandro Monteverde. And so then I found out, I want to give credit to Gorka Gomez Andrew, and he's the cinematographer for this film. So, way to go, Gorka.
He did a great job.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful film. And because here's the thing, you know, my wife and I, we see these films a lot. We'll watch them on TV, and they're the kind that, like, they're all over Amazon and Netflix and that kind of stuff. You can see these movies, and we call them lovingly Christian movies, right, with quotes around it. You know, these are Christian movies, which are movies that always have a positive Christian message. They're usually made by Protestants, and so it's not usually a Catholic Christian message, like Catholic specific. And so tends, like, a lot of times they'll be like, the acting's not quite so good. It's kind of okay. And the story's nice, but it's hard to get behind it for me because I've had too much, just a little bit of film class is enough to go, like, that's bad act. I can't watch this. This is terrible. Right. The acting is terrible. But listen to the words. Okay, I'll listen to the words, you know. And so that's what we call Christian movies. Right. And I thought this was going to be a Christian movie, but it's not. It's, like, well acted. The actress's name is Christiana Dellana, and she's from Naples. She's an Italian actress. Man, kudos. She
did a great job.
She really did a great job. And then they got some heavy hitters in that movie, John Lithgow and David Morse. A lot of people don't recognize him, but he was the Archbishop.
Yeah.
And it took me a while because he had his little round glasses and, you know, he had his little beanie hat on. And it's like, it's called a Zucchetto, by the way, for people to start getting mad at me. You know, and it's like, I thought the acting was good. The story was well told. So, Sam, because you live online,
you know,
and these are your people, and I've only seen, like, the outskirts of some of this, you know, the fallout. Right. Tell me, like, what people are saying, the people that are unhappy.
Okay, so the biggest criticism, and this includes from people who liked the film, like, for, you know, Father Mike Schmitz gave a review.
About 7.5 minute review, I saw it.
Yeah, overall, he said he liked it, but at one point he said, I wish there had been more God in the movie.
Yeah,
right?
Well, so that he gave the classic, it was the corporate sandwich. Now, y'all know, listen to that phrase, corporate sandwich, and replace the word corporate with other words.
Yeah.
And this is a very common corporate way of doing things. You say something good, at the end, at one at the beginning, at the end, and the garbage, the bad stuff, comes in the middle.
Right.
So he mentioned the God thing there, in the sort of a lack of God.
Yes.
But he talks about where he cried through three quarters of the movie because he had an advanced copy on a laptop, and he watched it, like, in his chapel.
So he brought it into the Lord's presence, and so where the Lord might not have been overtly present in the film, he brought it
into interesting
the Lord's
thing to do.
Presence. Yes, I
We
agree.
Couldn't do that at the theater.
We don't.
You can't have popcorn in the presence of the Lord, I think. I'm not sure.
Right, exactly. So I will say, so people were saying that you don't see her praying. And honestly, I had a couple of times.
Okay, she sat in the chapel.
She did, yeah.
She sat in the chapel and she didn't say anything.
Right.
For several minutes, she sat in a chapel.
Right.
Okay.
No, no.
So, because I've heard that complaint.
Yeah.
She didn't pray. It's like, okay, what was she doing in there?
Right.
Was she, like, thinking about the day's crossword puzzle and, you know, or was she thinking about what she was going to cook for dinner that night? Or was she maybe thinking to herself very solemnly and, I don't know, maybe she was praying.
And that there wasn't an emphasis on the person of Jesus and her relationship with Jesus or on the Sacred Heart devotion, and that you didn't, the name of the community wasn't mentioned, and you only saw at the very end, you saw the little symbol of the Sacred Heart at the end.
There were Sacred Heart images in the movie.
Yeah.
Like up on the shelf, there would be a Sacred Heart image.
And by the way, just to clarify, it's my understanding that the director is a Catholic. It is a serious Catholic. I don't know him personally.
I don't either, so I don't know whether he is or is not.
Been reported. I don't know. And so I know that Angel Studios is not a Catholic organization, right? And I know that they're trying to make films that are going to spread to a wide audience. So, like, one critique that I heard was that it creates the impression, it basically turns her into a social justice warrior, and it makes it where you can do all of this big stuff in the world without Jesus. And that
I agree with that, except for the without Jesus part, because I don't think it overtly says I don't need anybody else.
Right. I don't think
it does.
It doesn't
overtly say that. And now, I want to give credit where credit is due, and there are several people, like, including my wife, who I do agree. If I'm in the Father Mike Schmitz club in terms of if I had made the movie. Before she ever did every single major step that she had to do, I would show her discerning before the Blessed Sacrament or praying, if that's what she actually did. I would show that. I would want to make sure people understood the connection between what a great woman she was but also why she's a saint.
Yeah.
Not because she's a great woman and did great things, but because she was basically empowered by the Lord in her relationship with Jesus Christ. And that part I would have shown more overtly.
And there are people also who say it's very political. They say that it's pro, like a liberal immigration policy, and it's pro-feminist and all this other stuff.
But yeah, I think it is. Yeah. I think there were several times, I'll say pro. I don't know about the feminism, but I will say this. They several times in that film, I thought they pandered to that side of things. Like towards the end where John Lithgow as the mayor of New York says, "You would have made a great man." And then the camera kind of zooms in on her face. It's like this dramatic moment where the camera, it actually trucks into her face, goes in close, and she says some, I can't remember the exact words, but it's basically like, "No, a man couldn't have done what I'm doing," you know, or whatever. Yeah, a man could, you know, can't do what a woman can do in this regard or whatever.
We do believe in the feminine genius as Catholics.
Yes, I know, but we don't believe that men can't do things because they're not women in terms of great things, right?
But there are certain things, there are certain excellences and perfections to a woman and to a man.
100% agree with that.
And but so I try to view it within that framework. I understand why you were being generous.
You were being generous. There were a couple times where I went like, okay, I would put that in the list of how, you know, because it was very, very, very women-centric.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were a couple of times where I think, again, as a filmmaker, you have choices and you choose things to tell a story and then also to put your understanding of that story into the movie. So choice of shots, choice of angles, choice of characters, choice of lines, choice of focus, because you have this blank canvas that you can then like start putting pieces on there. And so just like Da Vinci and the Mona Lisa, I mean, what colors he chose, the look on Mona Lisa's face, all these things are things that choices he made to tell some story, right? Well, so a director can do that as well. I just thought there were several times where it kind of went there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it reminded me of the moment in one of my favorite trilogies of all time is the Lord of the Rings trilogies, when the woman cuts off the head of the wraith, ring wraith.
Yeah.
And is the ring wraith the big beast, the squealy monster dragon thing?
You're talking about the Witch King, but with the
But he cuts off the head. Head.
Yeah.
And he says no man can blah blah blah, and she goes I am no man, and then slices off the head.
Sure.
That was done obviously to make all the women in the audience happy.
Sure.
Finally, men get to see what we can do. We can cut off the head of the serpent, you know? And that's good. I just thought there were a couple of moments like that in this movie. It didn't destroy the movie for me.
Right. And on the immigration side of things, I mean, one thing that, because I heard a lot of people very upset about that, and it's like, well, first of all, the thing that people are upset about right now is illegal immigration, and the Italians who came in through Ellis Island, that was not illegal.
But what are people upset about with this movie?
They were saying that it's just a very pro
open
borders type thing, and it's like that there was not like a policy of saying those were legal immigrants who came through.
Yeah, and I didn't get that. I didn't get that sense myself.
Yeah, yeah. And no one wants people treated badly. You know what I mean? And so I think that's a stretch, to be honest with you. I think sometimes we can project our own sort of political lenses and views on it, but. You know, but I was speaking.
But can I say, I don't want to interrupt you too much, but can I say, I think that we forget how poorly the Italians specifically, you know, the Irish had their time and they were poorly treated.
Right.
You know.
The Polish.
The Polish. Well. And, you know, us Poles, we're still treated that way. although we have more jokes about us than anybody else. So, the point is, the country really was not
generous.
We'll just say generous to
welcoming
to the Italians. And I didn't really even, I had forgotten that until I saw that and realized, man, if you were Italian, you couldn't do anything in New York.
Right.
I mean, literally, there were things that you couldn't do. I don't think that was like pro open borders or anything.
I don't think so either. It was, by the way, it's very funny. The funniest line in the movie was the mayor of New York says, "This is the last time there's going to be an Italian festival in New York City." But so I got into this one dispute or not dispute or dialogue with a woman who's, she was pretty, she's a wonderful, holy woman. Very, very strong opinions, extremely strong opinions on this movie. And here's something that I said to her, and this is kind of where my heart is with regard to the film.
Yeah.
I said, you know, it seems to me that you and I are looking at this through very different lenses. I think that the film will introduce many non-Catholics and non-Christians to Mother Cabrini. And as a saint, she can intercede for those people and draw people to Christ in ways that the film does not. To paraphrase a French cardinal from the early 20th century, to be a witness does not consist in engaging propaganda nor even stirring people up, but in being a living mystery. It means to live in such a way that one's life would not make sense if God did not exist. And then, end quote. And I said, anyone who is drawn to look upon the life of Mother Cabrini and meaningfully reflect upon her life, it will become clear that her life would not make sense if God did not exist. However, it's a process to get to that point. And I believe that this film can be a first step in that process.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. Tom, what did you think about the movie?
I agree with that. Well, I thought the movie was really well done. I thought the film was really beautiful. I thought the acting was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the casting was fantastic. I will tell you, in a funny aside, so my mom's side of the family is from Italy. That my grandmother immigrated with her family from Italy.
Wow. Okay.
And their last name is Vittoria.
Okay. Oh,
Vittoria. Same as the Vittoria
in the film.
In the film. So yeah. I called my mom and said, "Mom, I got good news and I got some funny news for you." She said, "What's that?" I said, "Vittoria is in the film. It's a woman. It's named Vittoria. The funny news is she's a prostitute."
Yeah, that was a lovely story of redemption,
yes.
By the way.
Yeah.
I don't know what became of Vittoria and whether she was an actual person in Cabrini's life or
right.
whether... And when they're making a movie, especially a biopic, they'll be condensing characters a lot and trying to give a character, may have several characters of history. They just don't have time to put every... It's not like a 4,000-page...
Right.
Right, book that they're able to compose here. You've got somewhere between an hour and 3 hours to tell a story, and so right. you got to have to condense some things. So a lot of times characters are conglomerations of different people, and I don't know if Vittorio is really a person in her life or not.
Yeah, probably not.
Maybe I don't, but even so, it's still a beautiful story of redemption where someone who's living a certain life is attracted and drawn to Mother Cabrini and her nuns in a profound way, and then it's never in that movie you never see this Vittoria as like having this come to Jesus moment.
Mm-hmm, right.
You just see her like move from where she was at the beginning of the film to where she is at the end of the film. You're going like, that's a story that could be told.
Right.
That's a beautiful story.
She's drawn to change her life following the model of Mother Cabrini.
You know,
and Mother Cabrini is following the model of Christ. So it kind of reminds me of like Paul saying, imitate me like I imitate Christ. Right. And the other thing that I would say is, and I think it's important for people who are angry that the film is more for a secular audience. In film, there has to be something called suspension of disbelief. Right. And if you create, and what that means is, you have to, when your audience has to be willing to suspend disbelief and believe the reality of the film. And we live in a culture right now where in the secular world, there are people who they might be willing to suspend disbelief about dragons. They might be willing to suspend disbelief about ghosts and every kind of unusual thing in the world. But they're not willing to suspend disbelief about Christ being God made flesh.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's the world that we live in, and these are the people who are most important to reach and to touch and to communicate the stories and truth of the faith to, right? And so if you create a film where the ethos requires you to believe that Christ is the Lord made, is God made flesh, then at the end of the day, people are going to check out and they're going to say, well, this movie is not for me and I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
But if you don't require that on the front end and you create something beautiful and compelling, then people can be drawn into that space, not even realizing that they've been drawn into that space. And so I think it's actually very important that the film was created in the way that it was for a secular audience.
Yeah.
Speaking as a Catholic.
Yeah. I don't think you can top that. I think the show's over. Good day.
No, I think,
good day, sir.
Well, amazingly, we're towards the end of the show. And and Sam mysteriously took us there. And the thing is, I agree, Sam. At the end of the day, I don't know if that was their intent, that was their purpose. I don't know if that was their mission. In fact, I guess we should talk about their mission because I don't know what it is. Other than what their website states, Angel Studios wants to make movies that like families can go to, like just good movies. So, and here's the thing, I do not believe that their intent with this movie was to make more Catholics. Mm-hmm. That's not what their intent is. I know that. The founders of Angel Studios, four of the guys are brothers, the Harmon brothers. They're Mormons, and I this is not a theologically Mormon movie,
right?
But it's not anti-Catholic either. I think in a lot of ways, they just don't know all the things we know as Catholics that go into becoming a saint, that go into becoming a follower of Jesus Christ in that way. And the reality is, I don't hold that over their heads and say, this is a terrible Catholic movie. What I'm saying is it's a good movie, it's a great story, and there are some faults in terms of like what they could have done to make it more overtly Catholic, but at the same time, would they then reach the people that need to see a movie about a positive role model or a person that's going to lead them closer to Jesus? Because that movie never denies the existence of God, never denies that Jesus Christ is her motivation, never denies any of those things.
Or it says anything negative about the Catholic Church.
100%, yeah. Right? So at the same time, it's like, here's the thing. My end result is I'm going to cut it a lot of slack and say it's a good movie. I enjoyed the movie. I was not upset by it. It didn't diss the... Yeah, could there have been more crucifixes? 100%. They should have put more crucifixes in that movie to be even more accurate in terms of the detail. But the reality is, it wasn't like... They don't understand. They don't know what a crucifix is in that the way that we do. They don't understand the theology of the crucifix in the way that we Catholics do. And that's why I don't hold that against them. I really don't. It's like they did a pretty good Catholic movie for not being Catholic.
Yep.
So I advise everybody. You guys, thumbs up on
thumbs
this
up.
One.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
Right. We give it two thumbs up and go and see it and judge
or
for
three.
Yourself. Yes, three thumbs up. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.